Daniel chapter 12. We'll begin at verse 1 and we'll read to the end of the book. Again, give your attention. This is God's holy and infallible word. Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress, such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. And then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on that bank of the river. One said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be until the end of these wonders?" I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, as he raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finished shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard, but could not understand. And so I said, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age." This ends the book of Daniel, which is the Word of God. May He bless it to our hearing this day. Well, today we come to the conclusion of God's message to Daniel. And if we just reflect on the things that we've heard, and we've heard many things, 27 sermons by God's grace, we've considered the trials and the triumphs of Daniel. And, of course, his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, or as you may know them better, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We have considered the dreams of kings and their interpretation given by God. We've considered a fiery furnace and a dangerous den of lions. We have considered humbled kings and exalted prophets. We've also considered the very challenging prophecies of strange beasts and the exchange of kingdom powers. But most of all, we have considered the God behind and above and through it all. We have considered His sovereign control over history and over empires. We have seen Him moving and arranging kingdoms and kings for His own glory and for the good of His people, even for the advancement of the gospel in the age to come. We have seen His miraculous deliverances of His people. We've seen His gracious forgiveness and even restoration of the people of God back into their own homeland. And today we want to wrap up and bring to an end this series by considering the final words of the book of Daniel. Our text today reminds us that in the midst of unanswered questions and unknown circumstances, we still have everything that we need for life and godliness. We have everything that we need to live our lives unto God and to mature in the character and virtues of Christ Jesus. Now, we don't presently live in persecuting Babylon. In fact, we enjoy many, many freedoms. Many possessions do we have. And in some ways, this may be a disadvantage to our Christian life and godliness. The challenges to drawing near to the Lord, the challenges to growing in Christ are subtler than the government outlawing the public assembling of the people. The challenges are much subtler than a people being carried away into another land, into a foreign land, into a pagan land. Our challenges today that carry us away from God are busyness and neglect, too much independence and free time. Our riches are in some ways a hurt to us. And though the challenges are different between Christians who experience freedom and Christians who experience persecution, we can both walk in a way where we neglect faith and hope and love. At those times, when we're not walking with the Lord, God has designed a built-in restlessness, an agitation of the soul, actually, so that we long for something more. We long for something better. Often, our lives can be filled with pursuing things in ways of getting something more and something better. But you see, the questions that arise in our hearts and our minds reveal our longing for a completion of things. Not just simply the next thing, but the ultimate next thing. That's built into us. Whether we're being persecuted or whether we're enjoying the freedoms that we experience today. And so, there are questions that we see in the conclusion of the book of Daniel. The book is done, but not everything has been revealed, and there are still questions. There's still an ultimate next that is desired and wanted and longed for. So we're going to consider the questions like these in our text, and with the Lord's help, we will hear the promises of God, and the certainty of Christ's redemption will be seen, and our restlessness can be redirected, at least for another week. Well, there are 4 points to help guide us through this text today. We want to consider the conclusion of Daniel's message. We want to consider a question, or the question of an angel. We want to consider the question of Daniel, and then we want to consider the counsel that's given to Daniel. Okay, so the conclusion of Daniel's message, the question of an angel, the question of Daniel, and the counsel given to Daniel. First, consider the conclusion of Daniel's message. Look again at verse 4. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end time. Many will go back and forth, and knowledge will increase. So here we have Daniel's to do 2 things here. He's to conceal the words and he's to seal up the book. He's to conceal the words. That is, he's to close off the words. He's to bring the message to an end or a conclusion. In some sense, this almost sounds like something is being applied to the whole book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is concluded. This is everything that God had to share with us, His people. And further, the book is to be sealed up. Now, this is not, doesn't mean that it's to be hidden. Seal it up, hide it, put it away. It means rather, the seal is to be put on the book like an authenticating seal. It is done. This is the idea actually of let this word be preserved. That's the idea of sealing up the book. It is going to be for a future generation. It is to be preserved because the understanding that comes from this book is not going to be so helpful for the people in Daniel's very day. You actually need some time to pass and some things to come to pass. Some of this book that we've seen won't be begin to be fulfilled until 300 years, 400 years later. And at that time, understanding will come. And so the understanding was not for the present, it was for a time when the things would be visibly fulfilled. What that means then is that while the book is ended and the book is to be preserved, the book is to be thoroughly searched out in the future. Not only the book of Daniel, but really all of the revelation of God. It is to be copied. It is to be read. It is to be heard. It is to be discussed. It is to be studied. It is to be meditated upon. It says here that many will go back and forth. And what is the result of this going back and forth, this thoroughness of searching out the matter? Well, knowledge shall increase. Some people see this as negative. They read it almost like the statements made in Amos chapter 8 that people will go all over the place, high and low, looking for the Word of God, but it won't be found. But this actually says that people will go back and forth or go all over the place and knowledge will increase. This is saying that as people will give themselves to studying this book, they will understand more. It's like that prophecy that's given in the book of Revelation. It says that blessed is the one who hears and reads this word. That's the idea here. Daniel 12 verse 10 tells us that those who are wicked will not understand any of this. But those who have insight will understand. And that's the idea. Now, it's very interesting because while this book is sealed up and preserved for a time when it will be more applicable, if you go to Revelation chapter 22, near the end, verse 10, it says, don't seal up this book. Why? Well, because these are the things that are going to immediately begin to come to pass. In other words, there's an immediate fulfilling. You should be watching and expecting these things. Whereas Daniel, we have to give some time and wait. All the stuff is future for Daniel. All this stuff, in many ways, we see through the lens and through the light of Christ and the New Testament. And even Christ puts some of these things in the future. We'll get there. Here's a reminder, then, that we need to have a high view of Scripture. This right here, this is the means to wisdom. This is something to be copied and read and discussed and studied and meditated upon. There are still things that appear confusing, still things that appear unclear and difficult to understand in God's Word. But there's something of a promise here that as you continue to meet with the God of the Bible in His Word, you will experience His Word affecting you, changing you, maturing you, increasing your knowledge and your understanding. You know, you're like voice recognition software. You know what that is? You know, you speak into this thing and it's supposed to recognize your voice and therefore it works. Well, you're the software and God is, it's His voice. And as you come into contact with God, you begin to recognize His voice more and more and more. That's what we need to be and that's what we need in terms of the Word of God. What you misunderstood in times past, what you didn't really pick up at all only yesterday, sounds like God's voice today with more contact. Matthew Henry says this about this passage. Those that would have their knowledge increased must take pains, must not sit still in slothfulness and bear wishes, but run to and fro. They must make use of all the means of knowledge and improve all opportunities of getting their mistakes rectified, their doubts resolved, and their acquaintance with the things of God improved, to know more and to know better what they do know. There is a call in the Christian life to grow and to mature, to advance. Do not be content, then, in offering up some kind of sinner's prayer and then coasting in this life. That's not why Jesus saves you. That's not the purposes for which Jesus saves you. Well, we look into the Scriptures. And what do we see as we open up the Scriptures? We should expect to see the Messiah on every page. We should expect to hear His promises. To expect to hear He Himself is being promised. He's being anticipated. He's being prophesied. He's being hoped for. He's being trusted in. He's being received. He's on every page. We hear not only Him being promised, but we hear Him speaking. Here He is creating. Here He is commanding. Here He is calling. Here He is warning you, but here He is wooing you to Himself. Here He is persuading. And here He is preaching. We should expect to see the Messiah present, not just anticipated, but with His people. Saving and rescuing, protecting and refuging His people, dining with them and discipling them. And that's just the Old Testament. Oh, how we need to search the Scriptures that we may behold Christ, that we may commune with Christ. The words have truly been concluded. The words have truly been closed off, and yet the Word of God is alive, and it is at work in the lives of His people. So there's the conclusion of Daniel's message. But that's not where the book ends. We see secondly that there's an angel who asks a question. Look at verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river, and the other on that bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be until the end of these wonders? You see the picture. The one who's in linen above the waters, he's the one who's been telling this message the whole time. Well, more angels have gathered. You remember that one had to fight and come through. He finally got there and started giving the message. But it seems that more followed and they came along. They wanted to hear the message as well. And it would appear that Daniel's not the only one anxious about this message in this horrific scene. He's not the only one concerned about the future of Daniel's people. A witnessing angel. Ones who long to look into the things of God, that which points to the gospel and to Jesus Christ. He's there and he has a question in light of this book's sealing. How long? How long will this persecution last? And then we hear the preaching angel swear by an oath by him who lives forever. Basically what he's saying is this, I promise by God himself that it will only be for time, times, and half a time. You see, he gives assurance by this oath, by this promise to what he's saying is true. It's often the same way when Jesus would say things like, truly, truly, I say to you, I promise, this is true. And look what he says in verse 7. I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river. He raised his hand, his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finished shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be complete. Now, what is time, times, and half a time? This is not the first time that we've come across these words in the book of Daniel. This word, time, it simply means period. It can stand for a day or a season or some other length of time depending on the context. Daniel 4:16 is where we see it, where we're thinking about Nebuchadnezzar. We're hearing about Nebuchadnezzar who's going to go out into the wilderness. God's going to put him out there. And 4:16 says this, let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let seven periods of time pass over him. Seven times pass over him. Sometimes that's translated 7 years. Could be 7 months. It's just, the idea here is that it's a period of time. Later, this exact phrase, time, times, and half a time, is used in Daniel chapter 7. When we're hearing about little horn, it says in Daniel 7:25, He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One. He will intend to make alterations in times and in laws, and they will be given into His hands, that is the saints, for a time, times, and half a time. But then, of course, the court will sit in judgment. This one will be put in his place. And the sovereignty, dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. Time, times, and half a time, then. It really, in some sense, represents three and a half. You have time, and then you have two of them, times, and then you have half of it. So, one and two and a half. But three and a half of what? The length of time is not clear. However, many have actually noted that it's not about the length of the periods, but rather it's more of teaching something about the intensity of the periods. That is, that there will, persecution will come, there will be a time when persecution comes, and then that persecution will intensify, it'll be like two times, but then God will stop it short. It'll be half a time. He will cut it short. Let me say that I don't have much more than that. I can't tell you what three and a half is. I can't tell you what time, times, and half a time is. I don't know. Consider this. In Daniel chapter 7, the saints are persecuted for time, times, and half a time by the little horn. And if you remember, that little horn is not Greece, nor can it be Antiochus. It's Rome. It's the fourth beast. In Daniel chapter 11, the saints are persecuted by Antiochus the fourth, who's Greek, not Roman. And then he is eclipsed by a worse persecutor, the future Antichrist. The saints are also persecuted then by a future Antichrist, shattering the saints' power and bringing to completion all these events. In Revelation chapter 12, which borrows very, the book of Revelation borrows very much from the apocalyptic language of Daniel and other prophets, we see that a woman is given eagle's wings and she flies into the desert and she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. That sounds pretty positive, actually, not negative. So let me draw all of this together for you then. It would appear that this phrase is actually used to speak of God's control over time for the good of His people. Whether He is restricting and limiting persecution, or whether He is granting the time for retreat and restoration, He is in control. It appears that from our human level that something has happened, it's intensified, but then it's cut short. But God is in control. So when the angel asks, how long? The answer is this. Well, God promises that it will not be a completed persecution. It will be cut short for their sake. The number seven represents completion, right? Like Nebuchadnezzar, seven periods in which he was disciplined or judged. This is three and a half. It's half of a completion. God cuts it short. And that's not unlike what Jesus himself teaches. Persecution is coming, but God knows exactly how much to give and when to cut it short for your sakes. He says in Mark chapter 13, those days will be a time of tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created until now, and never will. Unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom He chose, He shortened the days. Jesus ties right into this very language. He understands that time, times, and half a time means this. I promise I will shorten the days for your sakes. Why would God say such a thing? Because we just heard about a horrific Antichrist, one who's going to come and seek to shatter the power of the saints. One who's going to come and he's going to do great harm, tribulation, terror, horror, remove the worship of God, set up false worship. That's why the angel can't help it but ask himself, how long is this going to be before it's over? And the response is, it'll be, but God will cut it short. What a great promise. What a great deliverance. And that's not the end of that. That message comes up again with Daniel and his question. Let's move to our third point and we'll see more of this. Thirdly, the question of Daniel. Look at verse 8. As for me, I heard, but could not understand. Aren't those comforting words? Daniel himself can't understand everything that he's seeing. And so I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? Daniel himself has received the full message, but he doesn't understand the time, times, and half the time. He doesn't understand everything that he's looking at. He doesn't even understand, even though God's no longer speaking to him in pictures of beasts, but he's actually saying kings of north and kings of south, and here they are fighting. So here, Daniel humbly asks the question himself. What a lesson it is to all of us when our elders, when those who are older and wiser among us, unashamedly admit that they need understanding. You're never too old to ask questions, to seek wisdom. How wonderful it is, actually, when those who are older among us demonstrate the wisdom of asking questions. Well, the angel has two things to say in response to Daniel's answer. And I want you to appreciate this in passing. When Daniel says, my Lord, he's not saying, notice here, the name of God. He's saying, Master or Sir. Oh, my Sir. He's speaking to a created being, an angel. He's not speaking to God. But here he is asking the question of the angel who gave the message. And so, two things are said in response to Daniel's question, what will the outcome or end of these events be? First, verse 9. He says, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. Here's the point. There will continue to be two groups of people. The wicked, who act wickedly, and the godly, who will be purged, purified, and refined. Now, this purging and purifying and refining, that does not sound comfortable or safe, does it? And that's because it's not comfortable, nor is it safe. This is how the Christian is described in the Bible. Like precious metals that are cleansed or heated up to have the impurities removed. I want you to consider for a moment the perspective that this ought to give us and help us with. Dave Ramsey, a radio host who talks about finances and other things, he's a Christian as well, and he often has guests who will call on the radio show and they begin with something like, oh, hi Dave, how are you doing? Or how's it going? And he often responds with a profound truth. He says, better than I deserve. I know many of us have said things like that. He's the first one that taught me that. Maybe that sounds depressing, better than I deserve. But actually, that truth is very far from depressing. That truth gives perspective. Amid the challenges that you face, God, out of His sheer mercy and love, has limited your trials and your temptations. Christians may not know how long time, times, and half a time is. They may not know how long they are to bear a particular burden. But we do know that God limits even our greatest burdens, only permitting trials to draw us to Himself and to promote change in us. You know, this is exactly why Jesus bears our worst and most horrific torments in our place. He bears the wrath of God that we deserve on the cross. And because Jesus did everything in order to redeem you and to transform you and to change you, to bring you into eternity, therefore you can trust that no trial is unnecessary. No trial is contrary to your well-being, even if you don't know why you're going through the particular trial. You may not have a knowledge, but you can always have the trust in God. Children, I want you to imagine for a moment that maybe you get cut really deep and you have to actually have someone come and take a needle and stick it in your skin to pull with a thread your skin together. Sounds horrific. Maybe there's a surgery that you need. There's something that needs to be fixed on the inside, and the doctors have to cut you open to be able to fix those things on the inside. Maybe your sin is causing you to be blind to the grace of God and the help of your parents, and you need to be disciplined so that you remember that sin hurts and that you need maturity, you need growth, you need help. All of those things are burdensome. They're hard things to bear, and yet they are good things for us. Stitches and surgeries and discipline are good for us. And God's knowledge of how much is needed is never wrong. It is perfect. And so the holy are transformed by God according to this answer. But the angel also goes on to say this, that the saints also have insight. This describes the primary way that the saint is transformed. They have insight. The wicked don't understand, but the wise search and gain understanding. I have a whole point here. I feel the need to move on. Let me just be clear about one thing. God's word was not hidden. And in fact, it was preserved. It was sealed up for preservation for future generations. And so, at the same time, it's not merely by reading the Bible that we gain wisdom. We actually have to believe and trust its message. We have to apply it to our lives. We have to be doers of the word in demonstration that we've actually heard the word. That's the point. And so, saints have insight. Saints are purged and purified and refined by insight and unto insight. The angel says, secondly, that from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, verse 11, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. The length of time spoken of before is provided in different terms. Time, times, and half a time, or approximately 3.5 years, or also translates into 1,290 days. Technically, 1,260 days, but if you're using all these different calendars in this Old Testament context, 1,290 is very appropriate. I'm not going to get into all of that, but I want you to understand this. The answer that the angel gets, time, times, and half a time, Daniel gets as well, 1,290 days. And the idea here is this, that's how long the sacrifices will cease until the end of the abomination of desolation. I'm not going to be able to clear this up for you. I'm not going to be able to tell you what the 1,290 days is either. I don't think it really clears up any much for us. Though it is clear that when the people of God respond to these trials, they are the ones who are transformed. And when the wicked are exposed to the same trials, they further harden their hearts against God. You see, the refiner's fire simply separates metal from impurities. It will not make impurities into precious metals. And in the same way, trials will not change us. They will not purge us or purify us. God will use the trial to purge and purify us. I hope I'm being clear here. You know, we don't just go looking for trials because we know that we're going to benefit from them. We can endure trials because God will benefit us through them. God is the one doing the work. Regarding the length of the time of those trials, the truth remains, whether it's time, times, and half a time or 1,290, God promises that it will not be a completed persecution. It will be cut short for your sake. And then there's this statement about the 1,335. Well, the church will persevere all the way to the consummation of all things. That is the point, isn't it? That we will persevere to the end. The time, times, and half a time refers to a length of time that's cut short by the mercy of God. If it's spoken in 1,290 days, it simply tells us that God carefully measures and completely controls down to the detail every point within this trial. The 1,335 days then refers to a lengthening of time when the saints will need to keep waiting on God, and they will wait on God, and they will come through blessed, satisfied, and happy. That brings us to our last point. We've come to our time. Consider the counsel that's no. Let's do this. What do we learn today in this text? What we learn today in this text is that God knows exactly how to help us, even transform and change us, benefit us, and bless us in the midst of trials and persecution. They're not comfortable. They don't feel safe. But God is the one who is safe. God is the one who has purposed all these things for our good, for our benefit. You may have questions, and many of those questions are appropriate. You notice that none of the questions are, why God, but rather, how long? That's a different kind of question, isn't it? And the point is that it's a question that comes from faith. I will endure this, but I will be able to endure it a little bit better if I know just how long I'm going to have to endure it. And God says, okay, well, know this then. You won't endure it for as long as you should. I'll cut it short. And what stands on the other side of all of this trial is a weight of glory that will make you forget any trial you ever face in this life. That's what we need to hear today. That's what we need to hear in the face of all of our struggles and trials. That's not even the end. Next week, Lord willing, we'll come back and we're going to hear the final words, the counsel that's given to Daniel. There is a call to live this life unto the glory of God and await eternal life. Let us pray.